The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Welcome to the Bill Myers Show for Wednesday, October 16th. We're at 59 degrees and a chance of showers still hanging on this morning. And we'll get, low 70s or so today. And actually some showers overnight at my house. Very, very nice. Ended up really enjoying that. Hope you're enjoying it at your place here, too. Join the conversation at 770-563-3, 770-KMED. Had a really great time. Spent a couple of days out at the coast over the weekend. Actually, Smith River, California, over at the casino there. And they just had a really nice room, and so we ended up staying there. We never really gamble. We just go there and just kind of enjoy the sights and, go visit Brookings and Prowl antique shops. And of course, Brookings, as is usual, always looks like it could use a good power washing, but we love you. The downtown still looks like it could use a little power washing. You know what I'm getting at, right? Isn't there everything out on the coast? Everything out on the coast in most of the cities looks like it could always use a good power washing, or maybe two, or maybe two or three. And then repaint that. I don't know what that color blue is that so many of the older homes out on the coast like to use. I don't know what the, you know me, I'm colorblind, but I can see blue relatively well. There's always a coastal blue, some color blue that so many houses have used on the coast, which are always indicative to me of, things were a lot better about 20, 25 years ago. But yet it's always looked that way. It's never been any different. Probably 20, 25 years ago, that same blue was out there, that same kind of look, you know. But anyway, really enjoyed it, and the ocean was beautiful. It was kind of foggy in the morning and sunny in the afternoon, and just wonderful stuff as always. And then got home, and then we're making plans to getting the swimming pool filled in this week. The people that are developing the homes right above our house off on Viewpoint, it looks like they're getting ready to lay down and punch through. We've had this dead-end road that we've been living on now for the last 8 years, and so they're going to punch through pretty soon. And I guess maybe they'll sell these homes or these lots that are up above us, and that's on the way to Foothill. So I'll have a more direct way to Foothill, I suppose, from where I am, which I suppose also means that we'll have more direct connection for the crooks that want to go through the neighborhood, too. But I don't know. It's pretty quiet streets that we have in my particular neighborhood. Speaking of the crook map, coming up after 7 o'clock, I want to talk with Lieutenant Jeff Kirkpatrick from Medford Police, because they put together this really neat map. They've kind of combined this in as a project with the GeoShield communities, in which you can go through there and put your address in, and you can see, to a certain extent, the crime that's going on in your particular neighborhood. And you could sit there and zoom out, and you could see, you could check the various crimes that are available. I didn't see rape or murder. I mean, I'll ask him about that, but we'll talk about an hour from now. It's really interesting reading to go in there. And Linda was saying, hey, what's that all about you're talking about with the lieutenant? I said, yeah. So I told her about it and said, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. So she's going in there and starting to zoom out. And it's interesting to look at what's actually going on in the particular neighborhoods. Now, I know that the Biden administration has been really big on saying that, hey, you know, this has just been a Trump campaign sort of thing, talking about crime. And it's not really happening. The FBI is not really seeing this in the statistics. But, of course, the thing that's been happening is that a lot of the more liberal, now I'm not talking about Medford Police, but a lot of the more liberal departments are just not reporting the crime. They're not reporting crime, and people have gotten a bit disillusioned, I think, in some towns, and they won't bother reporting the crime because what are the cops going to do? Nothing. They're overworked, et cetera, et cetera. And if they do catch the dirtbag, are they going to prosecute it? Not in Portland, probably. But anyway, we'll talk with Lieutenant Patrick, or Kirkpatrick, rather, about that after 7 o'clock. I thought it was a very, very interesting project that they're doing. And it's interesting to look at your own neighborhoods, too. Gordon Chang's going to join me after 7:30. He has a book out, China is Going to War. Now, if you're not familiar with Gordon Chang, he's a columnist at Newsweek, contributes to The Hill, Newsmax, and he does all this kind of stuff. He used to go on with Tucker all the time a number of years ago, back when Tucker was still on Fox. I don't know if he's still doing a bunch of this, but he's more or less saying that China is preparing for war big time. No, not just trade war. We're talking about war. And he has some ideas on where we need to take this. So I'll have him on the program a little bit after 7:30 this morning. Also catch up on some politics here for the campaign. Josephine County Commissioner Bear Trigger will join me a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning. Wheels Up Wednesday. We got Eric Peters joining me here in a few minutes, too. Hey, I wanted to give you a follow-up on a story that I talked about just briefly last week, and I'd even said that we didn't really have all the facts on this. But remember there was that weed dispensary in Portland? LaModa. And the dispensary worker had just shot two dirtbags that were robbing the place to death. And then they arrested him. They arrested the worker, right? And I was kind of wondering, is this one of those situations where it's like another Kevin Strickland? Remember Kevin Strickland, who had defended himself from a Black Lives Matter mob, an Antifa mob in Portland a number of years ago? I talked about this with Kevin Sterrett, quite often, over the years, and how for trying to defend yourself in Portland, he ended up being turned into a felon. Yeah, I know he's still appealing this, but, that's not the point. But this LaModa worker ended up being arrested. Jason Steiner was arraigned in Multnomah County Circuit Court. This was late last week before I went on vacation. And they're charging him with second-degree murder in the October 3rd shooting of the two dirtbag robbers. Remember, I was telling you how the paper was talking about them, how, so-and-so is a graduation of the such-and-such educational academy, and he loved playing video games and making music, when they weren't robbing pot shops, in Portland, that kind of thing. But they charged Jason Steiner with second-degree murder in that. And he told police he was in the back room of the St. John's location of LaModa, of that dispensary chain, when the people got in the store. Once he came out the back room, he found three people pointing guns at him. He told them they could take the store, and he told the cops that he feared being killed. He then grabbed a bag out of the back room with his gun in it and told them he was leaving. And so the three dirt bags allowed him to go. So at that point, there's no apparent reason why Mr. Steiner didn't leave the area. They were inside the building. The door was closed. Steiner was away from the building and around the corner. And instead of fleeing, Steiner walked back to the door of the dispensary. He then took his gun, and when no one came out of the building, he moved to the drive-up window to watch the people inside. And then he blew two of them away. He's firing into the dispensary drive-through window. It's like, I'm not taking this crap. Now, this LaModa had been held up, I think, three or four times over the last year or two. It was quite a few times that it had been held up. And so this guy's in trouble, of course. So they ended up saying, hey, there was no threat. You could have run away, because we know that the Declaration of Independence says that you have the right to run away from people that are doing bad things from you, and whatever you do, don't try to stop them from taking your stuff, because after all, it's only stuff. It's only things. That's the way that we work in the United States of America. You're not supposed to shoot over property. All right. Now, this is a good reminder to, remind you of this. But the fact is, though, he's going to be up on charges now. And yet, he actually, shot to death two dirtbags that had probably been robbing other places. In a sane world, Jason Steiner, instead of being held up and just charged with second-degree murder for shooting to death a bunch of dirtbags that were ripping off shops here, he'd be elected mayor of Portland. That's kind of what I'm thinking. What about you, huh? This is the Bill Myers Show. It's 21 after 6. This is the Bill Myers Show, KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation. Lithia Body and Paint presents the Travel Report on KMED.com. Check it for changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout our region. The travel report is on KMED.com. Brought to you by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED.
22 after 6, 770-5633. Wonderful to be back with you. 770-5633 if you wanted to join in. I haven't checked on the price of gold here lately. As far as I'm concerned, given that nobody's going to have control of the federal budget and the attacks on the dollar continue to go on, and, you know, it just, it's still the world reserve currency for now. But there is such a push for war and disorder that it's a good idea to have some physical gold and silver within your possession. Get that from Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Now, I hope that you never have to use gold to get out of some bad jam or something like that. Like, you know, well, you remember even Vietnam War, when people were being taken out. And sometimes the smugglers are trying to get people out of there before the commies ended up taking over. Well, maybe before the commies were to take over here, if we had to do something like that where you had to give up an ounce of gold to get the helicopter ride. I hope we never, ever have to do something like that. But that's what gold is for. Gold is for when the other forms of exchange are breaking down and people are trying to preserve some wealth. I'm not a gold bug. I'm not saying put all your money in gold, but talk with your financial advisor, then talk with Jay Austin. These are the people I trust and go to here in Southern Oregon. 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call 482-3715 for your appointment. Or 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. Fair, quick, just good people. You want to talk with Mark and Andre, okay, over at Jay Austin, the recognized experts. And by the way, their website's fortunereserve.com. 23 after 6, we'll head to the phones here because it's Wheels Up Wednesday. See what's on your mind. Hi, who's this?
This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
I think the guy at the pot shop is in a lot of trouble because you can't just leave a place. Your life is no longer in danger if you've left.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. As the way the law is written right now, you are absolutely right. The law says that once the threat is gone, you're to step out. You are, and of course, there was no threat at this point.
There was none. I mean, I understand the frustration of somebody if he was the owner or something like that, but unless there was another worker there that was he was trying to save, he's screwed.
Let me ask you though, Jeff. It's Jeff, right? Is that what you said? Okay, Jeff. Should it be that way? Because it's a relatively recent development that you can't do anything to protect property. Because the whole idea was that the state would be there to protect you from the bad people, and as we know, that doesn't really happen all that much. Fair enough. Would you agree with me on that so much? Or so far?
I don't know when it changed, but I don't know if it's ever been like if you came, if someone walked into your house and the pizza guy just grabbed something, you can't just shoot him because he's stealing something. You know, you have to be in threat for your life. But those guys had guns, so there was a threat. But when they just let him leave the store, that's when he's in trouble. It's kind of like at your house.
Yeah.
You know, if you came home and someone was robbing your house and they didn't have guns and they're running away with your stuff, you can't just shoot them because in the back you have to be in threat for your life.
I've been kind of wondering if law and order, the ability to enforce against the dirtbagginess of society in Oregon, if that continues to corrode a bit, I wonder if you're going to see more of this, because I've always had this point of view that there is a point to be made. That when someone takes your stuff, you know, someone would all. How many times will you hear the bleeding hearts here, Jeff, say
that it's always stuff? You can replace stuff,
right? You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Except
why is your stuff worth their life? And it's like why are you taking it?
And then I would say that the stuff that you have was earned through you exchanging your very limited life on Earth in order to get it.
Yeah.
And so this idea that, you steal a bunch of stuff from an 85-year-old grandma, let's say, how much of her life is she left to be able to exchange then?
Yeah, it might be all that she has.
Exactly. And that's my point. And that's where it's only stuff, I think. And by the way, I'm not saying go out there and shoot people that are stealing your stuff from your backyard right now. I would never say something like that because you're in big trouble. But yeah. I think it's worth a conversation as time goes on and we've decided that, okay, we're not really going to prosecute the dirtbags and we're not going to protect you from the dirtbags, but you have the duty to let the dirtbags steal your stuff. Unless they're trying to steal your life. If they try to steal your life, well, then you can do something, and a Portland jury still may, you know, make you in big trouble because you had an evil gun. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's going on.
Yeah, no, there's no repercussions anymore on the whole left coast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
And that's just it. And as that continues, and if that does continue, those no repercussions ends up leading to a form of street justice, whether the folks realize it or not. But I appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Jeff. We go to... Line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Good morning, Francine. How's life with you?
Well, it's pretty good.
Good
morning to you, too, Bill. And I'm glad you're back. We missed you.
Well, I missed you, too. And I'm glad to be back because, you know, even when I'm on vacation, I still wake up at 3:30. That's wrong, you know? That's just wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2 days of, you know, a little bit of Hugh Hewitt, then I would turn it off. Then I couldn't stand it. I turned it back on, and then it was, no more. I don't know. Anyways, listen.
Hey, listen, if you want to know what the swamp wants, you listen to Hugh. That's why I have him on this station, okay?
I know. Mm-hmm. All right. So my take on what's happening here with this guy and all people that are trying to defend themselves and et cetera and so forth. Here's the problem, and it's not just about the immediate problem with the laws and that, because that's just an aspect of what's going on. What's going on is this entire societal remake that a lot of people just don't want to admit is going on. And that's one of the reasons people like us who know what's going on, that's why we are having such a hard time communicating with some of these people and getting them to step up and try and help us change things, because people don't want to admit that the entire world that they've known as they've known it is pretty much no longer existing or going to exist as, you know, as we go through it.
You know, it's an interesting way of looking at that, Francine. I guess if I hear you correctly, it's sort of like, all right, the system will not protect your property. There won't be enough cops to come out there. And if they do, the court system will not be all that interested in prosecuting them because, frankly, the wrong people are being prosecuted. And then we hear all this talk about disparate impact, et cetera, et cetera. And for most people to admit that is to admit the old America is gone. And they're not ready to do that yet. Hmm?
Well, you got to take it all the way back. What's happening is the new world order. And that's what people don't want to face up to. Hmm. We are being put under the thumb of a small group of elites that are going to run the entire world. And there will be no America. There will be no France. There will be no nothing except for the 5% of remaining people on the planet that they've chosen who can, you know, work for them and take care of what their needs. And I mean, this is a big conspiracy thing, you know, that everybody goes,
course.
Oh, my God, you're crazy.
Yeah, well,
what's happening?
All right. Well, take a look, though. Is it happening everywhere? And let me give you an example, though, of a green shoot. You want me to give you a green shoot? You know what I'm talking about, a green shoot, like a little nice little green flower that's growing out of a whole bunch of stuff.
All right.
I don't know if you realize this, but the Dutch government, I was just reading this on Substack the other day. The Dutch government the other day has officially informed the European Union that they are opting out of the migration pact. In other words, even the Dutch, you know, the ones that are going around there, we don't go ahead and bring your rapeugees in and rape our women. It's okay. It's all right. We feel, you know, we need rape equity.
Even they're saying they're going to close it.
They're going to close it. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
That was a green shoot. Okay.
All right, but Bill,
what?
You're missing out though. You have to remember, What else have the Dutch and the Netherlands, what have they been doing up there? They've been destroying small farms, telling farmers to kill their stock. They're shutting down the farms. They're not letting people produce and take care of ourselves.
And what did the people do? And what do the people do, though?
There's some places people have protested and other places they haven't. They've tried that in the Netherlands. But the point I'm trying to make is, they don't want any more refugees coming into their country illegally. That's great. That still doesn't change the fact that they're still going after their own people and their own people's.
Okay. Well, fair enough. As long as the people don't fight back. Now, what the part is that it's interesting that they are talking about closing their borders. We'll know if they're truly going to reform. And I would say the same thing about the United States. Will you send them back? Will you send the criminals back is what I would ask, right?
I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is this goes beyond just the situations with our criminals and our laws and stuff.
Yeah, but remember, though, there's way more of us than there are of them.
That's right, and that's my point. We are not, nobody wants to face up to what's really happening. They're just going, this isn't right, or that's not right. We should deal with this. And they're going after the little tiny aspects of it. I mean, they're not really that tiny, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it. Focusing on the pennies on the ground and missing the dollars that are flying by them. Okay, good point. All right, I appreciate that. Thanks for the call here, Francine. Yeah, I'm almost out of time before Eric comes on, but I gotta get to him, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Before News Time, who's this?
Hey, good morning, Bill. This is Ron Smith, Grants Pass.
Hey, Ron, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm good. Well, I think we're missing the point here that really the whole reason that we established governments in the first place is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
That was
the main first reason to do it. It wasn't like we were in desperate need of someone to come and some administrative agency, Ron, to come seize the generators, when you're trying to bring them into North Carolina, for example, right? We didn't need that.
If a government can't provide for a safe society, I believe personally they're a failing government. And I see that across the board at the state level and the federal level. With the laws that they passed, they've forgotten that their first duty is public safety and for an orderly society.
You're absolutely right about that. Now, Ron, you gave me a text message and wondering if I was going to interview you personally about your race. And my apologies, but you know what happens? I do not chase down candidates. All right. It's just not my job because I got a show without candidates. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, yeah. That's why I text messaged.
Okay. I appreciate that. You want to come on Friday morning, 7:30? I'll give you a few minutes to talk about your candidacy. How about that?
Sure, that's great. You want to do it in studio or on air?
Hey, all up to you, okay? All up to you. You want to make the drive, I'm happy to have you here one way or the other, Ron. Either way.
I think I'll make the drive, Bill.
Okay.
So 7:30 Friday morning.
Okay, now make sure and put your makeup on because you'll be on Facebook Live, okay?
Yeah, I'll have my pretty face on.
We'll see you then, Ron.
But remember, the most important thing that a government can do is public safety. And I think the way the funding is allocated in the state of Oregon and what we're forced to, in especially Josephine County, is that we're not allowed to fund our government first, our public safety first. We need to fund public safety first and foremost.
Okay, well, let's
talk. I believe if we can't do that, we fail.
We'll talk about that on Friday morning show then, okay?
No, okay, thanks, Bill.
All right.
See you later.
Bring your notes there, Ron. Ron Smith running for Josephine County Commission, 6:34.
Two Dogs Fabricating, fall blowout sale on their remaining Delco trailer inventory.
7:03 to schedule an appointment with us today. American Rancher Garage, we are United Through Service.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius, holding down the fort at epautos.com. I enjoyed going through a lot of your site over the weekend while I was taking a couple of days off my anniversary weekend. Eric, welcome back to the show. Great having you on.
Well, thank you for having me, Bill. And as far as genius, I don't know about that. I managed to lose the keys to one of my bikes, and so I had to I had my own Biden moment, and so I had to disassemble most of the front end of the bike to get the ignition cylinder out, because on older bikes, and this is a lucky thing, the manufacturers have stamped the code that you need to go to a locksmith to get a key cut. But the point is, don't just have one key. The point is you know, be smart and have a copy made while you still have one key, and ideally have three made and keep one in a lockbox somewhere.
And you have made me think about that with some of my house keys and various other things going around. But anyway, the title of the article is Two is One and One is None. So if you have two, you really have one. If you have one, it's really none, because all it takes is for that one to go away. But you could take that kind of that preparation view and apply it to anything. You know, it could be I apply that to tools a lot of the time. First aid kits. Two first aid kits is really one first aid kit. One is none, because it's easy to lose one or get rid of one. It's something you can put this and use the same kind of a thought process through a lot of things, couldn't you?
Yeah, a little bit of forethought and future time orientation sometimes saves a lot of trouble. I try to keep at least 2 5-gallon jugs of gas always on standby in my shed for just in case. You know, if the power goes out for a couple of days and I can't get gas at the station, at least that way I can power my generator, and at least that way then I can power my well pump and have water.
And, of course, two is better than one, because one could have a leak. There could be some staleness problem. You should actually apply this and apply it to all of your preparations out there, really. It comes right down to it. Good read. Really was. And while we're on the subject of motorcycles, what I really enjoy was going back and reading some of your site on how you were saying that maybe the best preparation vehicle, if you're talking about something that would prepare for disasters, whether it's tough times or whether you have big trees blocking the road like you do in North Carolina, still, it's going to be weeks before they're able to get some of that out, is to actually have a motorcycle as a backup vehicle, right? I think that's something worth revisiting. We've done that before.
I think so, too. And, you know, there's the additional aspect of fun. And specifically, I think we're talking about the dual sport motorcycle, which is basically a dirt bike that has turn signals, headlights, and brake lights that's legal to operate on the street. But you can still take it pretty much anywhere that you can get between the trees. So in a scenario like the people are dealing with down in North Carolina, that would enable people to get out from wherever they're stuck back to civilization. There are a lot of people actually on YouTube who are doing GoPro camera videos of what's happened down there, and they're riding their dirt bikes into the area to be able to do it.
Because it's about the only way you can do it, unless you happen to have one of those side-by-side type of vehicles with maybe the paddles on it. Other than that, you're not going anywhere, are you?
Yeah, and the side-by-sides are too wide. You know, one of the great virtues of the motorcycle is that it's really not much wider than a man standing up. So you know, anywhere you can walk, essentially, a motorcycle like that will go. And the smaller ones that are in the 250cc size range, they'll typically get between 80 and 110 miles per gallon, depending on the tires that you've got.
I've been on the lookout for that because I've been thinking about adding a motorcycle to my you know, and of course, part of it is that back when I was a kid, my mother never let me ride a motorcycle. Can you believe that, Eric?
That's terrible.
I know my mom's listening, too. Love you, Mom. But she would never let me ride a motorcycle, and so now I want to.
You know, it's understandable. I guess the aversion or the reluctance a lot of people have, particularly parents, with regard to the risk that is entailed by riding a motorcycle. But it's not one-dimensional. There are also a lot of very positive things. You know, you and I have talked in the past about how helpful it is to learn to drive a car using a manual transmission.
Yes.
Well, I'll go one step farther and say, you know, a kid who grows up learning to ride a dirt bike is already one step ahead because, of course, most motorcycles have manual transmissions, so that concept is already understood. And then you develop additional things like situational awareness, being in the moment, and so on, that really help you to be a better and so safer driver.
And also, you have to drive the motorcycle. The motorcycles don't have the same kind of safety features. There's no, at least I don't think that, well, maybe more of the modern motorcycles have anti-lock brakes, but most motorcycles don't, right?
No, and you really have to be in the moment. You know, if you doze off on a bike, you're going to wreck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't really, you can't do the kind of inadvertent driving that you see regularly on the road on a motorcycle. You know, some people can be a little bit less attentive, but the very nature of it is you just have to be paying attention constantly. You have to be actively involved in riding the bike because it's a physical thing as opposed to just sitting there literally in a car and sort of looking ahead of you and pushing on a pedal.
Now, how much should you spend for a good one, you think?
For a dual sport?
Yeah, dual sport. What does it take?
Well, I'd recommend getting a used one, first of all, because the price difference is enormous. You can get a really nice, low-mileage, mechanically sound, nothing wrong with it, typically a dual sport dirt bike in the 250 to even a 650 cc size range for around $3,000 or so, give or take.
Okay, and so I figure a 250 cc is a good one if you're not super strong, I guess, because the larger motorcycles would be a little more difficult to get up, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, the 250 is extremely light, very easy to ride. It's an ideal first bike, and it's also an advantage when you're out in the woods or on the trails because it is light, because eventually you're going to drop the bike, and you know, being able to pick up the bike is important. On the other hand, having the larger displacement bike, something like a KLR 650, that's got enough engine and enough power to very easily go out on the highway for hours and hours. It can absolutely maintain 75, 80 miles an hour for a long time.
Very good point. Now, like I said, I was reading both of your latest experience with the missing key, but it kind of got me off into some other motorcycle articles too, which I really enjoyed over at epautos.com. All right. Now then, I have had conversations about the QAnon type of folks here for quite some time, off and on. And it is astounding. You know, the people that were kind of the ones that are saying, hey, don't worry about what's going on. Trust the plan. I've looked at it as some of the most successful government psychological ops in history, the QAnon. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, absolutely. We're really going to know what the evildoers, the black hats, are up to when we're in the concentration camps. Then we'll really know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll know who was really up to, and it's been Donald Trump actually exposing the evildoers. That is his purpose. This has been a lot of what is going on. The reason I'm bringing this up, if you go to EP Autos, you need to go to EP Autos right now, because there's an article there called "The Devolutionist Dementia." And it's the theory of devolution, of devolution, rather. And it kind of goes down the QAnon stuff, the sort of things that I've been having interesting discussions with people off the air for a long time about. What's this going on?
Yeah, it's personal for me because I actually have a very good, very old friend who's into this. Do you remember Star Trek and Spock playing 3D chess?
Yes, we all do.
That's essentially what they're claiming. And there's this lunatic aspect of slight possibility. You know, they'll start with the premise that the Posse Comitatus statute, but what's the other one? The continuity of government.
Yes.
You know, that is a plan that was put in place in the event of a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. You know, what would happen then? And they claim that this is the basis for Trump and the military being in control of this vast operation that has been running things now for years.
And they're actually claiming that Trump is in charge of it right now.
Yes,
right?
That he's still the president, and that the military is acting as his proxy, and they're maneuvering and orienting things so that all of the evildoers will be exposed, even to the extent some of them believe that they have Epstein in a cell somewhere, and that after Trump returns ascendant to Washington in a month from now, they're going to bring Epstein out, and he's going to tell all.
Where do you even begin on such theories?
With a bottle.
Okay, yeah, it makes me want to drink too. It's
because you know it's infested conservative circles. There is a lot of this going on. It's not just a handful of kooks in a basement somewhere. There is a whole devolutionist subculture that has bought into this.
I think one of the issues that is really dangerous. Not dangerous as in people need to be grabbed by the deep state and locked away. Not that kind of danger. Is that I honestly think that a lot of this ideology that says that Trump is still in charge, and well, they were the same people that were saying he was going to go back in power in July of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
They were saying,
yeah, I remember the Kraken that was going to be released. What happened to that?
Exactly. And what we really have seen is President Trump under numerous attacks, legal and political, for the last 3-4 years. Okay, it's been going on for a long, long time, and I think that. Part of what disturbs me most about it is that this whole idea of that's all right, Trump's still really in charge, trust the plan, you know, various other things like that. It's about putting people to sleep and thinking that they don't and making them think they don't really have to do anything or don't really have to have any agency. And that's not a real positive movement, I think.
No, I agree with you. And I think that it also is kind of on the right side of this derangement of the country generally. You know, the left went berserk and mental. After the 2020, after the 2016 election with Trump, and it's been so ever since, the country went a little berserk after 2020 with the pandemic and the masking and all the sickness kabuki. And now you've got a lot of people on the right going nuts with regard to this devolution stuff. So essentially, it's like we're living in an open air nut house now. And if you're sane, you almost feel as if you're, you know, having to hide somewhere and keep your sanity to yourself because all of the crazies are going
to
know it.
Yeah, it used to be, I think one of your commenters said it in the commentariat section of EP Autos, was that, you know, it used to be that if you were a little crazy, you kind of kept your thoughts to yourself. If you thought you might have been a little crazy, oh, I'm just going to keep those thoughts to myself. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else would kind of keep you in line. And now I think with the internet and the various blogs and groups and social media, people that are a little a bubble off plumb are able to reinforce that with one another. I thought that was interesting.
No embarrassment to it. You know, this masking thing is a really good example of that. Pre-2020, anybody who walked around wearing masks and surgical gloves and things like that, you know, to paraphrase the old Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny thing, they would have been carted away by the men in the white suits. You know, you would have seen them coming after them with the, remember the net that they used to have and catch them and take them off to the crazy place.
Yeah, La Looney Bin, okay? Yeah.
But we've gotten used to this. You know, it's been normalized. So now, you know, weird, crazy people are in a way encouraged to be crazy because there's no stigma attached anymore to behaving in a really aberrant way in public and to espousing aberrant points of view.
All right. It's a pretty interesting article, folks, and a really experience that Eric has had with this friend of his. I've had a similar experience, okay? It's 9 before 7. Hey, if you want to talk with Eric about a car or a motorcycle or something else that's going on, you have a question about something that you'd like to get or to sell or whatever, 770-5633. We will continue on Wheels Up Wednesday and also get Eric's latest review of the week. Coming up.
Imagine a Jackson County where every...
Want to miss out? We can't wait to see you there.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
And we have returned with Eric Peters, epautos.com. Automotive journalist and, of course, lots of politics going on there right now, including the weirdness of the odd people that think that President Trump is still in charge. Yeah, and so I guess he did, when President Trump being in charge, did he also then have the deep state continue to drag him into court in all of these various places here, Eric? Is that part of
it,
too?
Well, sure, and why are we having to go through the kabuki theater of this election? If he's president, why is he having to run for president?
Yeah. What do they tell you when you ask them this question?
Well, it's sort of like when you confront a masker and you ask them, you know, why are you wearing that thing under your nose? And were you aware that viral particles are so small that they easily permeate the material? Facts don't penetrate. It's whack-a-mole. They come back with some other thing that you then have to whack-mole and then rinse and repeat, and there's just no end to it.
Speaking of the masking, have you heard that down in the San Francisco Bay Area, they're going to be bringing back masking this winter in some locales?
Oh, yeah, I wrote about that, and I actually had a reader who mentioned, and this is in Iowa. I can't remember which town it was in Iowa, but he attempted to enter a bookstore. And they kicked him out because he wouldn't put a diaper on.
Oh, my gosh. That is that's pathological. It comes right down to it. And, you know, think about this. We are in 4 or 5 years past, the pandemic, the plandemic, whatever you want to term it then. And anybody who gets COVID at this point, in spite of all of the amazing Pfizer ads and everybody else that you're hearing on radio and TV, you know about this. COVID's pretty mild at this point. It's far, far divorced from the original version that was released on the people, wouldn't you say?
Well, either way, wearing one of those stupid dust masks does not do a damn thing, and it's widely acknowledged now. I mean, other than perpetuate this image of terrified, you know, boogeyman, toe monster under the bedism that we're dealing with.
Safety. All right, 6:55. Let's go to the phones here for you, Eric. And we have Bob. Bob's here. Bob, you wanted to talk about the survival motorcycle topic we were discussing a little earlier. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Good morning, Eric. 250 motorcycle, enduro or, you know, street trail is a good starter bike, and especially if you want to advance to larger motorcycles. But let's not forget the Honda CT Trail 90 or the Honda Super Cub as a good survival bike.
You know what the best one is? Now, of course, this is not going to be inexpensive, but Kawasaki actually made a number of diesel KLR 650s for the military, and every once in a while, one of those things will pop up on eBay. They cost about $10,000 if you jump on it.
Wow.
But imagine that, a diesel motorcycle. I think the thing gets something like, 200 miles, a lot. It has a ridiculous range, and it burns diesel, of course, which means It can burn practically anything.
Now, the Cub 90, what was that that Cub motorcycle you were talking about, Eric?
Yeah, the Cub 90, or the CT90. It's a little step-through bike that back in the 60s and 70s, everybody had one strapped on the grill of their pickup truck to go camping in.
Yeah, now, are those actually rated to actually handle the heavier American, or are they still designed for the lighter, more lithe American of the 1960s? Okay.
Well, I weigh close to 2 stone, 200 pounds, and they started out at 50cc, they went up to 70, then they went to 90, then you had upgrade kits to 110. Honda is now making a 4-stroke, I think 125, and yes, they can handle an American.
All right.
And what's nice about them is you can actually, get it worked over a log in the road, and you don't need freeway speeds, if you're in a survival situation. You need, transportation.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for the call, Bob. Mm-hmm. And anything you wanted to add to the smaller trail bikes in your experience? I don't know if you had much of that or not.
I don't know so much trail, but there are a number of very low-cost Chinese pass-throughs of the type the caller's talking about that are available. If you look around, you'll probably have a dealer in your area that are dirt cheap, brand new, like $2,000. For something like that, or even less. And they're fine for knocking around a town. Or they're not really set up for highway or high speeds. I think a lot of them have top speeds around 40 miles an hour or so. But that's plenty. It's in a way, it's a whole lot more practical than an EV is.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started on the EV practicality aspect. All right, let me go to the next call here. Good morning. You're on with Eric Peters. Who's this? Welcome.
Morning, Bill and Eric. Jeff and Selma.
Oh, Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Eric, I had to laugh when you said about picking the bike up, because when I was working for a Chrysler dealer, they took in an 82 GS650L Suzuki in on trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that bike, and I looked it all over. And the last thing I did, I said, hold on, one more thing. And I put the kickstand up and laid the bike down. And you should have seen the salesman's eyes get big as saucers. And then I picked it back up and said, yep, I'll take it.
Yep.
See, that's an interesting
point. That's a
really
important thing.
Yeah, just what I was going. You have to be able to muscle it up. What's the point of a 1,200cc bike if you can't pick it up, right?
Well, yeah, and you're also more likely to drop it. Last year, BMW sent me their big twin cruising bike to test ride, which I did. Nice bike, wonderful bike in a lot of ways, but it weighs close to 1,000 pounds without me on it. And that kind of weight can easily get away from you, particularly if you don't have long legs.
Yeah, and you were talking about the mask, too. And as a firefighter, you have mask fit testing. They put a hood over your head while you're wearing the mask, and they put this god-awful vapor in there. And if you can taste it, you will have a reaction. But if you can taste it, then you're not protected. So if you don't have a perfect fit on a HEPA mask, you're not protected.
I think a lot of this, by the way, thank you for the call, Jeff.
Bye.
I think a lot of this is an emotional sickness that we're still working through even now, Eric. It's kind of sad.
Oh, absolutely. They terrorize people. Not to minimize the consequences for people who did get sick and did have problems, but they exaggerated the threat and they made it seem as though you were literally going to die if you came into contact with anybody, which was just way over the top.
Indeed.
And what they have done, what the result of that has been, is that a lot of people now, especially older people, those seem to be the majority of the people that I see that are still wearing the masks, they're absolutely mortified and terrified of other people and of going outside without wearing one of those stupid things over their faces.
We're going to finally go through this week's review. And this week that you have up on EP Autos this morning, 2025 Mercedes CLA 45.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Well, I say, first of all, we talk a lot about things that are not so pleasant and that are depressing. Here's something that's not. It is a sign on the road about what is possible and what we can have. If only the government would get out of the way. Can you imagine a 2-liter engine, the one that we ride all the time, that makes 416 horsepower?
Oh, 416? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense, given that you can have 8 cylinders that are making 800. These days, so maybe that's not so bizarre, but that's kind of like taking the Hellcat, the Dodge Hellcat, to a 4-cylinder, really.
Well, I contrast the engine that's available in this CLA 45S with the current Corvette 6.2-liter V8 that makes 490 horsepower, again, out of 6.2 liters. Mm-hmm. This engine makes 416 out of 2, and it does it with a smooth idle, and it does it with good gas mileage, and it's really a testimony to the almost magical powers of engineers if you let them go to work and let them solve problems.
So about 44 grand is where this starts, right?
Well, not with that engine. It starts around there, yeah. If you want that engine, you have to pony up 65 to get into the AMG-tuned version.
Okay, but still about 44.4 to start for the CLA 250. Have you had a chance to drive it in stock form or stock trim?
Oh, not this model year, but a couple of years back. And yeah, and the thing about that that's exceptional is that even though it is a Mercedes and even though it is expensive, it still manages to get nearly 40 miles per gallon on the highway out of that 2-liter 4, which is, again, that's really remarkable. That's very close to what an economy car would deliver. Now, not that it matters if really in terms of if you're spending 44 grand on a car, you probably don't care, but that's still pretty impressive, I think.
Indeed. So read the whole review, 2025 Mercedes CLA 45S. Interesting read over on epautos.com. We'll grab one more phone there before we take off. Hi, good morning. Who's this? You're with Eric Peters at EP Autos.
Hi, Bill. This is Francine. I'm sorry to call twice, but I have a question for Eric here. I saw an article a few days ago where it was a big announcement sort of thing where Toyota is going to be working on developing an engine that runs on water. And we know people have come up with this in the past and sort of disappeared, that kind of thing. But I was just wondering if he knows it, if he's seen the article, if he has any thoughts on this.
Well, are we talking about the hydrogen fuel cell powered car?
No, we're talking about water.
Really?
All right, well, I'm assuming that by water they do mean hydrogen, that they're going to separate out the hydrogen, and that's what's going to ultimately power the vehicle. And this is something that has been worked on for a number of years. There are actually some vehicles that are in production that use this system. And again, the main issue that I have with it isn't that it's clever. It's just that it's kind of a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. We already have far more effective and affordable ways to power vehicles. You know, this is expensive. The Toyota Mirai, which is the one that has the fuel cell powered system, is essentially a Camry sized vehicle that costs $20,000 more than a Camry does. So, you know, what are you getting out of that as the person who buys the car? And I'm not slamming the technology. I'm just saying it's very expensive and unnecessary.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the call there, Francine. It's all right. You took a double bite this time. All right. Hey, I wanted to ask you about something I was reading the other day, and I don't quite understand yet. I hear rumored that there's a new engine or a new type of cycle engine with six cycles rather than four-stroke. It's a six-stroke vehicle.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. I haven't had a chance to dig into that. Do you know anything specific about how it operates? Because offhand, I can't imagine how that works.
From what I understand, it's like, you know, you have the intake, and then it compresses, and then you spark, and then you have another power stroke, and then another power stroke, and then an exhaust stroke, and then an intake. I didn't quite understand how it works or how it could work, but they claim it does. I don't know. Maybe we could talk about that next week sometime.
Yeah, we'll check it out. I wonder if it has aspects of the two-stroke design, you know, like a piston port element to it, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting thing, and at least put it on your radar if you hadn't heard much. But it sounds like you have heard it.
I'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, and we will grab one more call. Hi, good morning. You're with Eric. Who's this?
Bill, it's Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. You're with Eric.
Eric, quick question. You were just talking to Bill about the 400-horsepower motor. My understanding is that if there's any issues with a car, it's not the engineer's fault, because they submit, from what I'm told, a series of designs or plans, and it's the financial people who make the decisions.
Well, that's absolutely true. And there's another element to it. It's not like it was once upon a time where you had one or maybe two or a small team of engineers that would be responsible for designing a particular engine. It's much more compartmentalized now because of the complexity and all of the interplexed systems that comprise a modern drivetrain. And so engineer A will be assigned a particular task that's part of the whole. And when the whole eventually comes together, you know, it comes together. And as you say, a lot of that has to do with cost considerations and bean counting. But there really isn't any particular engineer that's involved that's responsible, I should say, for the completed end result.
All right. Of course, I would then say go back to that engine we were talking about the other week. Which engineer decided that a wet oil belt, oil-soaked belt, is the best way to run a valve train? I would still say that. All right. We'll set that one aside here. What you going to review for next week? What do you think you got coming?
I think what's coming today, it's either today or tomorrow. I always get confused which day of the week it's going to be. But the Range Rover Evoque is coming.
Cool.
And And, of course, it has a 2.0-liter four-cylinder engine, too.
Well, that's revolutionary because nobody has a 2.04-liter turbocharged
engine.
Very,
very revolutionary.
Yeah, very, very.
It's one of these, you know, it's a high-end, compact-sized SUV. So we'll have more to talk about that next week.
All right. We'll kick it around then. EPAutos.com. Thank you, as always, Eric. See you then.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
It's 6 minutes after 7. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News next.
When it's time for a new roof,